Second hour at Aaron, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Don't forget our pregame show this Sunday, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. 2 hours getting you ready for Titans and Jags kickoff at Nissan Stadium. Our pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Of course, that show will feature Jared Stillman, former Titans general manager Floyd Reese, and forever Titan, that's what he wants to be called, Chris Sanders. Now we say hello and good morning to the president and CEO of the Tennessee Titans. Burke Nihil is on the line with us. Burke, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on this morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. So you get the good news in the last 24 to 48 hours that you guys, after this game on Sunday, starting in October, where you're getting to get some home games right out of the gates, one with Pittsburgh early October, where you can start housing fans in the stands. Take us up to this point where you got the news where it's this Sunday you can't get anything, but they're going to start with that game against Pittsburgh. What do you, up to 7,000, I guess, is the number we're hearing for that game?
Yeah, it's 10% of our bowl capacity with the limited capacity in private suites, which comes out to about 7,000 fans. The story really starts back in March when COVID first unfortunately arrived in Nashville, and everyone from our facility went and started working from home. And looking ahead, we realized there was the possibility that if the virus was still around come fall, we were going to have to make some pretty dramatic changes to how we would execute a game day. And so we assembled a team of it was probably 40 or 50 employees from all different parts of our organization, from the stadium operations team to our ticketing team, our safety and security team, and brought in outside vendors, brought in some health officials, and we started meeting once a week, sometimes several times a week, just reimagining what a game experience at Nissan Stadium would look like in a COVID-19 era. So we've been preparing for this announcement for coming up on 8 or 9 months at this point, and we will be ready.
Were you disappointed it's taken this long? Were you disappointed you weren't able to house fans in your first home game, this game this Sunday? Or, I mean, what were your thoughts on at first not being able to have anybody there for this home game?
Disappointed, absolutely, in the sense that, of course, we want to be able to welcome fans. We want the natural energy of fans being in the building, but also understanding and respectful of the process and the mayor's decision for our September game. The mayor mentioned, and he was absolutely right, that this was not a Nashville response to the pandemic. It was a national response to the pandemic. You know, most of our sister clubs had the same response, that at least for the first week of the season, they were going to host the game without fans. There's only four venues that from week one will have fans in the stands. As the weeks have proceeded, now I think there's up to eight venues that will have fans beginning with the second or third week. So we were disappointed to not be able to invite people in and do what we do with a natural game day environment, but absolutely respected the mayor's decision.
Yeah, no, I understand what we're in. I think it was just my whole thing has been at least give you guys a chance to pull it off. You know, give anybody and everybody at least a chance to pull it off and do it safely and do it the right way. You know, and that's what you're going to get now. But I would have, me personally, like to see if you guys were able to do that. And if you can't, then you can't. And everybody says, okay, you tried, but you couldn't pull it off safely. But that's probably why I asked if you were disappointed.
Yeah, and I would say that we were ready. And so if very suddenly we could, you know, magically distribute 7,000 tickets for this Sunday and get fans into the stands this Sunday, we would be ready to provide a safe and comfortable experience for the fans who attend. But the reality is we can only control what happens within our four walls. And so while we're ready, Nashville wasn't ready. And we understand that when 7,000 people are being drawn to a single location, that's a regional implication during a pandemic. And so we were respectful of the fact that it was more about the regional and the citywide implications of 7,000 people traveling to our games, as opposed to whether or not it was a safe experience once they actually got there, which I'm confident that the health department and the mayor would agree with us that we would have been ready this weekend. It was just that Nashville wasn't ready.
Yeah, Burke Nihill on the line with us, president and CEO of the Titans. So hopefully it'll start at 10% and just keep going up. So with that being said, in October, what are the challenges of hosting something in these unusual times?
Well, it's a challenge that we're certainly ready for, but you know, we've got to be ready from the moment that a fan drives into the parking lot to be sure that we're enforcing our protocols. So it starts with being sure that everyone is honoring and respecting the mask mandate. Everyone's going to be expected to wear a mask from the time they get on the campus until the time they leave, other than when they're actively eating and drinking. And so we'll have about a 20-to-1 fan to enforcement personnel ratio around the campus and inside the stadium, you know, asking people to respect those rules and keep their masks up. We'll have those same enforcement personnel paying attention to social distancing at our gates. We've got some creative bike racking and floor clings up so that each individual party will be able to kind of go station to station as they work their way towards the magnetometers and get through the magnetometers into the stadium. Same for concessions. We'll have floor clings and people being sure that a group isn't crowding up on the group in front of them and maintaining social distancing. So we've got our work cut out for us. But as I said, we've been preparing for it for 8 or 9 months, and we'll be ready.
We're talking to Burke Nihill, who is the CEO of the Tennessee Titans, and they have the home opener coming up against the Jaguars on Sunday. So, Burke, I try to envision what it would be like to be the person enforcing the protocols. It probably wouldn't be the most fun job in the world, but who actually is doing that? Is it just the workers that normally have it for the stadium? How much do they need to be briefed on how to go about doing it, the right tact and all that stuff? Or are these people that have experience in security in the past and that sort of thing?
No, it's mostly redeploying the same security and enforcement personnel that would typically be in the building for a 65,000-69,000 person event, bringing those same people in similar numbers, and rather than just being sure that people are finding their way to their seats and not crowding the vomitories and the other things that they're paying attention to, now we're adding to their plate the idea of patrolling the aisles and looking for people that are not honoring the rules and asking them to enforce the rules.
So, Burke, what are some of the other things that you guys have done? Because I've noticed you guys have been very active, trying to stay connected with the fans as the season starts. There's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of excitement because this team really looks like it's got a chance to be very, very good.
Absolutely. Gil Beverly, Jen Hinkle, Surf Melendez, our marketing and creative team have just knocked it out of the park. I think that's a statement generally for our organization. During this pandemic, it's been so impressive. Our leadership team is just so pleased with how everyone has, you know, in a very unusual work environment, raised their game. And I think we've seen with the marketing efforts during our Titans kickoff week a prime example of that. Because you know, people working from their kitchen tables and apartments have collaborated to do some really outstanding things around town. We had a pop-up shop that was socially distanced that sold out of some unique Titans gear maybe just an hour and a half or so after it opened last week, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. We had some drive-in movie theater experiences showing Remember the Titans. My personal favorite is the mural across from the Music City Center. If you haven't seen it, it is just spectacular. In terms of its art and its connection to Nashville and to the Titans, that team is just absolutely knocking it out of the park.
Burke, how much control do you guys have of the game day experience, and how much does the league sort of say, okay, here's how much crowd noise we want put in there? Is there a formula, or is there going to be a little creativity and a little trial and error of what works well in such a unique set of circumstances, especially you mentioned Surf. Melendez, he's brand new on the job. I know you're really excited to hire him, and he won't be able to go full force with the full crowd there, but this has got to be a unique challenge.
Yes, it is a unique challenge. In terms of the crowd noise specifically, the league actually curated audio from every individual stadium so that there's audio that is unique to specific stadium experiences and packaged it up and sent it to each individual venue. And there are absolutely rules about maximum decibel levels and that sort of thing. You know, I got to experience it firsthand in Denver. They had, I think, 250 people in the stands, not enough to make authentic crowd noise. And it was interesting during timeouts. They would turn it down, and you'd recognize what silence sounded like, and then it would turn up the ambient noise. And it was really mostly just, I would describe it as something of a hush type crowd noise. It wasn't, you know, kind of massive loud cheering like if somebody was breaking off a big play or that sort of thing. But it was enough to not be distracting to be playing through total silence. But the league has some careful rules on that, so there's not a competitive imbalance across the stadiums. And in terms of the rest of the game day experience, it'll look pretty similar in terms of what would go up on a Jumbotron, even next weekend or this coming weekend. Even though there won't be fans there to see it, it's an opportunity to give the players a chance to feel something like they would typically experience at Nissan Stadium, and get the production team ready for the week after, where we will have fans in the stands.
Burke Nyhill is with us, the president and CEO of the Tennessee Titans, here in Darren, Donick, and Chase. Now, I know that you were instrumental in helping bring the draft to our city last year, and we're always asking, okay, what's next? We're the it city. We do all these big things, and now that you're in your new role with the Titans, I'll ask you that question. What is your vision for what is next, not only for your organization, but for the city as a whole?
Well, let's start with Amy Adams-Strunk. There's no question that the pivot point for this organization was when she stepped into her role as controlling owner. She has very high expectations for every aspect of her organization, and she first turned her attention to the football operation, and I think, you know, she would tell you that nothing short of a Super Bowl is fully satisfying, but I think her work over the last 5 years in hiring John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have taken the football organization to a totally different place than it was when she stepped into her role. And she's starting to turn her attention to the business side over the last 2 or 3 years. And so the expectations for the business are much, much higher. I think if you go back probably 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know that the Titans have the audacity to try to bid for the draft. And not only did we bid for the draft, but we expected that the Nashville Titans draft bid would be the best that the NFL receives. And if they ultimately chose a different city, that would be on them. But we not only submitted it, but expected to be the best bid in the package. And then once the draft was awarded, certainly, you know, we can't take full credit. Butch Spearden and his team and the NFL events group were just incredible in terms of the work that they put into the event. But, you know, where we supported it, the expectation was that if we're going to get a draft, let's have it be the best one ever. And I think there aren't many that would argue that was the final result. So those high expectations, you can just scan everything in the organization from marketing, you know, to the stadium. It's something where Amy's going to want to be, you know, a first-class organization and to be the best version of ourselves. So we'll continue to chip away at every part of our organization and meet Amy's expectations.
Well, you did say the key word there that I was going to bring up. The stadium, Nissan Stadium, is now over 20 years old. I grew up here. I remember when it wasn't there. And you see some of these new venues that are opening across the NFL. You know how this works, that it evolves over time. So how many conversations have been had of what is going to be next for Nissan Stadium? Is it more of a renovation? Is it, let's look at maybe a new stadium here in the next few years or so? But how would you answer that?
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about it publicly, but no question, we understand the importance of figuring out what Nissan Stadium is going to look like for the next generation of Titans fans, and it's a stadium that we're proud of. It's a location that we're thrilled with, but it's getting a little long in the tooth, and so we have had conversations, for at least a couple of years about what the next version of Nissan Stadium might look like. Amy's been very forthright about the fact that she does not anticipate a new stadium, and that's in large part because this again is it's a unique location. If you're traveling to away games, almost every time you're pulling off of a highway out in the suburbs somewhere or some remote location in a city, and to be so close to the nerve center of downtown Nashville, we just wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And so I think there are ways to look at Nissan Stadium and think about how you could make it a thoughtful first class venue that is enhances the reputation of Nashville, is a wonderful place to watch a game and a concert and other things like that, without necessarily going feature for feature with SoFi Stadium. SoFi Stadium is a multi-billion dollar project, and that's probably not in the future of Nashville Football Stadium. But we think there's ways to get there in terms of creating this first-class, thoughtful venue short of SoFi Stadium-type development.
So when you see some of these plans, and these are rumors and plans, there's nothing that's definitive when it comes to a baseball team coming to town, but there are renderings of a retractable roof stadium. I mean, obviously that's going to bring different events. Would it be a thought from you guys that if that were to happen, well, we want to get some of those events in our venue. How can we make that happen?
Well, let's start here with I think you go back 10 or 15 years, and Nissan Stadium hosted Titans games, the Music City Bowl, CMA Fest, and maybe a few concerts if someone happened to call. And part of Amy's charge in terms of being a first-class operation is to make our stadium as active as possible. And last year we had 1.2 million people come through our doors for a record number of events. We had more non-Titans events than Titans events. And next year we're on pace to be much higher than that. You may have seen the announcement earlier this week about the IndyCar series that will be coming to Nissan Stadium, the Music City Grand Prix. It's exactly the sort of thing that that Amy's expecting for us to be doing in terms of leveraging this community asset that is Nissan Stadium. So in terms of events, believe it or not, with the number of Titans games and other sorts of events at the stadium, there's really not a whole lot more activity that can be supported. We end up having to turn away a lot of events just because the stadium schedule is already so crowded and it's a natural grass field and that sort of thing. In terms of baseball, certainly it's an exciting possibility. I personally am a big baseball fan, Cubs fan, and so I'm still basking in the glow of the 2016 World Series. That said, I do think there's some confusion in the market about where the stadium would be located. It won't be at Nissan Stadium, but I know they're looking for other venues and excited to see if they're able to put all the pieces together with a franchise and, figuring things out with the sounds. We'll be excited to see if they can pull it all together.
Burke, when you say confusion with the stadium, I know there was a rendering that kind of stuck a baseball stadium between the football stadium and the bridges over there. Is that what you're referring to? I've always wondered as I live pretty close to there. When I drive by there, I try to envision it. That would seem to be a tight squeeze.
Yeah, I think so. And a good chunk of that is actually, that is Nissan Stadium. It's not the building itself, of course, but it's on our campus. And they've been very, I think, open and transparent about the fact that it was an illustration and they're considering a number of possible sites for the stadium. But yes, that's what I'm referring to when I say confusion.
Burke, really appreciate you doing this. Just so I've got this straight, the open wheel cars, you're not going to let them actually come onto the field, right? They're just going to go over the bridge. Like you said, Nissan Stadium, you're not going to let them on the field.
No, sir. But okay. It will be spectacular. There will be opportunities to turn our East Club into suites to look out on the track. And
that's awesome.
The parking lots will be a festival-like atmosphere, and we're hoping it's a staple at the stadium for years to come. Special event.
Now that we know you're a Cubs fan, you're going to have to get together with Casey Alexander, who we had on yesterday, who's Belmont men's basketball coach. He's a huge Cubs fan.
Is that right?
Yeah, you guys can rub it in my face as an Indians fan. You can just give it to me like he does all the time.
Hey, you had us there in that World Series, but we're glad the Cubs were able to pull it off.
Yeah, and then what did they do the last couple of days? Did the same thing. It felt like 2016 all over again. It was painful as the Cubs pulled out some late victories over the Indians. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Best of luck this season, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, that is Burke Nihil. He is the president and CEO of the Tennessee Titans. We'll come back and react to some things you heard there on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.